Our study of the ministry of Jesus. This evening we're going to read just the first 20 verses of this chapter. Mark chapter 4, beginning at verse 1. What we hear now is God's word. Again, he began to teach beside the sea, and a very large crowd gathered about him, so that he got into a boat and sat in it on the sea. And the whole crowd was beside the sea on the land. And he was teaching them many things in parables. And in his teaching he said to them, "Listen, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seed fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured it. Other seed fell on rocky ground, where it did not have much soil, and immediately it sprang up, since it had no depth of soil. And when the sun rose, it was scorched, and since it had no root, it withered away. Other seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no grain. And other seeds fell into good soil and produced grain, growing up and increasing and yielding 30-fold and 60-fold and 100-fold." And he said, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." And when he was alone, those around him with the 12 asked him about the parables. And he said to them, "To you has been given the secret of the kingdom of God. But for those outside, everything is in parables, so that they may indeed see, but not perceive, and may indeed hear, but not understand, lest they should turn and be forgiven." And he said to them, "Do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all the parables? The sower sows the word, and these are the ones along the path where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan immediately comes and takes away the word that is sown in them. And these are the ones sown on rocky ground, the ones who, when they hear the word, immediately receive it with joy. And they have no root in themselves, but endure for a while. Then, when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately they fall away. And others are the ones sown among thorns. They are those who hear the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches, and the desires for other things enter in and choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. But those that were sown on the good soil are the ones who hear the word and accept it and bear fruit, 30-fold, 60-fold, and 100-fold. Here we end the reading of God's holy word. Tonight we look at a parable of Jesus Christ. We have noticed in the teaching of Jesus so far in Mark, he has at times used stories or used illustrations to make his point, but this is the first real, full-blown parable that is given to us. A parable and its interpretation. A parable that I'm sure is familiar to many of us. Often called in my Bible here, the parable of the sower. That's the little heading put over chapter 4. It is a parable about the nature of faith, about the nature of our reception of the Word of God. And it is through that reception that we are brought into a living fellowship with God. It's important to understand the nature of our faith. And we get a picture of that faith as we tonight study the parable about faith. Our response to the Word of God. Now, it may seem like a small thing, but I think to understand the parable, we have to get the title of this parable correct. As I said, in my Bible, the little bold type here says, "The parable of the sower." But I would suggest the parable is not so much about the sower as it is about the soil. That's going to be where the point of the parable comes. Not so much that there was a sower, not so much as there was seed. But the way that that seed was received on the different soils. The sower goes out and he sows the seed. He sows indiscriminately. And the same seed is sown on all the ground. But it is the ground that it lands on that Jesus wants to focus on. What was going on immediately before he told this parable? We talked last time about that sin against the Holy Spirit, the unforgivable sin. It's in that context that now we move on to this parable. How is it that Jesus could come and sow the word and speak powerfully and someone could still fall away? How is it that Jesus himself could come and teach in this area and people would reject him? Was it because of a deficiency in Jesus Christ? Was it because of a deficiency in his word? No. He tells them a parable about soils. That's where the deficiency would come. Not because Christ was in any way deficient or his word in any way deficient. But the soil on which that seed would land. The hearts of those who would hear the word. That's where the problem came. That's how there could be one who would have this unforgivable sin, who would reject the word of God consistently and deliberately. Now, it's a parable. And sometimes we use the definition of a parable as an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. And that's not a bad definition. But I sometimes think that we assume Jesus told parables to make his point clear. That's why I will give sermon examples sometimes, kids, to make my point clear. Is that why Jesus tells this parable? To make his point clear. Well, what does he say with regard to parables? The disciples come and they ask him about the parables. Why are you teaching this way? It says in verse 11, "To you has been given the secret of the kingdom of God. But for those outside, everything is in parables, so that they may indeed see, but not perceive. They may indeed hear, but not understand, lest they should turn and be forgiven." Why does Jesus tell this parable? He says, not first of all, to make it clear to those outside what he's trying to teach. He says, I want them to recognize that for those who are within the kingdom, the secrets of God's kingdom, the secret of Jesus' coming, is in fact clear, but to those outside, it will sound like a parable. They won't understand. The parables are told not so much to make things clear to his disciples, but to demonstrate to those outside that they are outside. It would be like speaking a different language to them. That indeed they may see, but not perceive. They may hear, but not understand. The parable is given not to illumine, but to demonstrate the obscurity to those who are outside of the kingdom. And that certainly fits the quotation Jesus gives here as well. He is quoting from the book of Isaiah. And I hope that whenever you're reading through the New Testament scriptures and find a quotation of the Old Testament scriptures, you go back and look at the Old Testament to see if the context fits what Jesus is doing here. And it fits exactly. The quote from Isaiah has to do with Israel and their unbelief and the fact that they would continue to be unbelievers and would be put out of God. And therefore, they would see, but not perceive. They would hear, but not understand. The quotation is in the context of unbelief, just like our text, the context of unbelief. That's the context that we understand the parable in. A parable not about the sower, a parable not about the seed, but a parable about the soil. It puts the responsibility on the part of the listener. No deficiency in Christ, no deficiency in His Word. How is that Word received? And so we're faced with that same question tonight. What kind of soil is this Word of God going to fall on? What kind of soil is this sermon tonight going to land on? Where are our hearts in relation to the reception of the Word of God this evening? Jesus tells a parable. It's a parable that speaks about a sower sowing seed on the ground. And he gives us both the parable and its meaning. So we don't have to guess what these various grounds mean. Four different types of ground the seed falls on. Four different types of hearts that the Word of God falls on. And that's the meaning that Jesus gives to the parable. The first type of soil, verse 4, "And as he sowed, some seed fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured it." And Jesus interprets, "And these are the ones along the path where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan immediately comes and takes away the word that is sown in them." It is seed sown on hard soil. It is the word sown on unresponsive hearts. Again, what we talked about last week. The unforgivable sin. Persistently and deliberately refusing to heed the word of God. They hear the message, and yet they have hardened their hearts to it. That Satan himself comes and takes that message away. They will not be reliant on Christ for their salvation. They will not be reliant on Him for anything. But they are self-sufficient, hard, cold, unresponsive. This is the seed on the path. The Word of God goes out, and their hearts clam shut, unwilling to yield, unwilling to hear, unwilling to even listen. The seed that falls on the path. There is seed, we read, that falls on rocky places. Verse 5. "Other seed fell on rocky ground, where it did not have much soil, and immediately it sprang up, since it had no depth of soil. And when the sun rose, it was scorched, and since it had no root, it withered away." Jesus interprets that for us. Verse 16. "And these are the ones sown on rocky ground, the ones who, when they hear the word, immediately receive it with joy, but they have no root in themselves, but endure for a while. Then, when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately they fall away." The seed that falls in rocky places, on shallow soil. The seed that falls on impulsive hearts. They hear the Word of God. They immediately sense something there, respond to that Word. But they never seem to get beyond that initial response. The Word of God is not there encouraged to develop deep roots. We were talking at lunch today about the last house that we lived in and how for a brief time in my life, I felt like I could actually do some things outside in the yard, doing some brickwork and some rock work and actually planting a lawn. And when we planted our lawn, originally, kids, I had the sprinkler set. So they would go off a lot of times, but only for a short while. I wanted the seed to get wet and to start to take root. But then once that seed took root, we didn't water them a lot. We watered them longer, so the water would go deeper, and those roots had to reach down, and the grass became firmly rooted in the ground. The grass had to stretch, as it were, had to go beyond itself to be firmly rooted. Jesus says there are some who hear the gospel, they respond with joy, they love it, but what happens next? we need to continue to go deeper into the Word of God. To continue to go deeper into the glorious truths He has given to us. I love the way our catechism describes faith. Faith is a deep-rooted assurance in God. We need to stretch ourselves to learn more about God's Word. Now, surely, the call of the gospel is simple. The call of the gospel is simple. Repent and believe in Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. Couldn't be more simple. But that's not where we stay. We don't stay at that surface level. But we are called to go deeper, to become rooted in the Word of God, stretching ourselves to know more about God's holy revelation. Otherwise, when the sun comes out, that shallow root simply dies away. When persecution comes, when tribulation comes for the sake of the gospel, unless we are deeply rooted that this is the only word of life, the only word of hope, we too simply fall away. Tribulation, persecution, on account of the word, immediately they fall away. We begin with the simple message of the gospel. Repent and believe. But we don't stay there. We must grow. We must develop. We must put down deep roots into God and His Word. And the same is true with our children. Kids, mom and dad will teach you when you're young the basic stories of the Bible. We will teach you the basic stories about Adam and Eve and about Joseph and about Moses and about David and about Jesus and about Paul and about all these glorious, simple stories you can know. But parents, don't leave your kids there. Don't leave them with the simple knowledge of Scripture, but push them deeper. Push them farther. Push them to begin to grasp some of the connections in Scripture. Oh, always age appropriate. We don't expect from a 2-year-old what we expect from a 10-year-old or a 20-year-old. But we need to be encouraging those deep roots. We need to be encouraging our children in their participation in worship. We, again, kind of talked this noon around the table about a variety of things. But one of the things we talked about was how when our kids were younger, and even now, they were required to take notes in church. From the time that they could sit in church, they were required to take notes. Now, when they were 2, those notes came in the form of pictures. And then after church, we'd go home and they would sit on Dad's lap and he would say, "What did Dad preach about today?" And they would show me the picture and describe the picture to me. And then when they learned to write, when they learned to be more articulate, they would write sentences, 1 or 2 sentences about the sermon. And as they grew, we expected more and more and more. Some of the theology to come through, some of the connections to come through. And I would encourage you, parents, push your children. Our covenant children are capable of so much by God's grace. Push them deeper into the Word of God. Help them with the simple stories, to take simple picture notes. And then encourage them to grow deeper and deeper and more and more. Lest they be shallow in their faith, like those on a rocky soil. And then when tribulation comes, when persecution comes, the faith is not dear and deep-rooted to them. And they too may fall away. The soil on rocky places. Jesus describes a third kind of soil, soil that is thorny soil. Verse 7, "Other seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no grain." He interprets that in verse 18. And others are the ones sown among thorns. They are those who hear the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches and the desires for other things enter in and choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. Soil that is cluttered. Soil that has thorns growing in it. Soil that the seed has to compete with other things for growth. We might refer to that as a preoccupied heart. A heart that has all kinds of other things going on in it. Oh, it grew for a while, but the other things grew faster. We know that nothing grows faster in our yard than a weed. The weeds just grow up like crazy. They will overtake the grass. That's what Jesus is talking about. The thorns. The thorns that grow up and can choke out even the glories of the gospel. He speaks about three particular thorns. The cares of the world. Worry. Anxiety. Being overly concerned about the future. Now, we should be diligent about the future, mindful of the future, preparing for the future, but not preoccupied with it. Not preoccupied with how we will take care of ourselves, because God will take care of us. God is the one in control. Like Psalm 62 said, a refuge, a strength, a fortress. No need to fear the cares, the anxieties of the world. The high and the low are but a breath in God's scale. He is a rock and a fortress. Don't be overly preoccupied with the cares and worries of the world. Or, he says, with the deceitfulness of riches. Now, sometimes I think if we thought to ourselves, look, I maybe have some difficulties, some cares, some anxieties now because of my lack of money. If God should bless us with money, we still have to be careful. The opposite problem, the deceitfulness of riches. When we begin to think that somehow now my hope for the future is not in God, but in my wealth. And that's the deceit. That we think that we can trust in wealth rather than trusting in God. And we become casual toward the things of God, preoccupied with other matters in our minds, more concerned about stacking up our money than stacking up our memory of God's Word. The thorns, the cares of the world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the desires for other things, where other things are simply more important. Hearing the Word of God, becoming deep-rooted in the Word of God, simply isn't as important as other parts of our lives. Other desires that we have. We are preoccupied with all kinds of things. And Jesus says that is the thorny soil, cluttered soil, where other things grow up and overtake the word that is sown. And then he speaks of the good soil. Verse 8. And other seeds fell into good soil and produced grain, growing up and increasing and yielding 30-fold and 60-fold and 100-fold. And in verse 20 we read, but those who were sown on the good soil are the ones who hear the word and accept it and bear fruit 30-fold, 60-fold, and 100-fold. The good soil, the well-prepared heart, the land that is ready to take up that seed, and that seed is then grown and sprouts and comes up. That's the picture Jesus gives to us of a heart that hears the word, that embraces the word, accepts that as the word of God, and bears fruit. There is a response on the part of the hearer. No response in the path. No response in the rocky soil. Little response maybe. A little bit in the thorny soil. But in the good soil, the word is heard, the word is accepted, and the word bears fruit, and not a little. 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold, there is evidence of the faith that embraces the glories of Christ. Evidence of a faith that recognizes it is not in myself, not in what I can do, but it is God and what He has done that I find my hope in my life. There is evidence in the way that we live that we are those who have heard the good, the word, and it's fallen on good soil. Evidence. Fruit being born. That's the picture Jesus gives to us. Now, what does He want to teach? What lesson should we take from this parable about four different soils and four different hearts? Again, like I said, it is not a parable about the sower. The sower is the same. God sows the word. We confess that when we hear the word of God preached, God Himself is speaking to us through that word by the power of His Spirit. And that doesn't change. The seed is the same. It is the word of God. It's not as if, children, one Sunday we use the Bible, and then the next Sunday we use New York Times for our text, and the next Sunday we use Home and Garden magazine for our text. It's always the same. It always is the Word of God. The seed is the same. The question is, what kind of soil? And that's the lesson Jesus wants to drive home again tonight. You have all heard the same sermon. You have all heard the same Word of God proclaimed. It's been the same for all of us. The same sower, the same seed. How do you respond to this word? That's the question we have to deal with. Are you even now hardening your heart? Saying, I just don't want anything to do with that Jesus, anything to do with that Lord. And continuing on that road to persistently, deliberately, reject the Word of God. Are you perhaps saying, oh, this is great, this is wonderful, I love this Word of God, it's fantastic, and you respond with joy, but tomorrow, and the next day, and the next day, you'll never go back into the Word again. You won't push yourself deeper. You won't push your children deeper. But you'll stay on this nice, light surface level. Rocky soil. Perhaps tonight we are simply preoccupied. Preoccupied with too many other things rather than respond to Jesus Christ. Preoccupied with what we don't have. Preoccupied with what we do have. Preoccupied with all of the things in our minds. The thorny soil that says, it's interesting, it's good, but I just have too many other things that I want to do before I commit to following after God wholeheartedly, deep-rootedly. Or may it be that God has prepared our hearts. They are that good soil. That tonight you hear the word. You accept the word. And don't forget the last step. The word bears fruit in your life. It will guide and direct your thoughts, your words, your actions, tonight and tomorrow and the rest of the week. It is a word that is not simply heard, not simply accepted, but a word that is embraced. A word that changes the direction of our hearts away from self and unto God. May that be the message that goes out. Many who heard Jesus preach would reject His preaching. What about tonight? We've all heard the same sermon. Do we with love and devotion and thanksgiving to God accept the glorious message of salvation, praise Him for that wonderful gift, and then bear fruit in the week to come? He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Let's pray together. Lord our God, we know that your word is perfect. Your word is holy. Your word is righteous. It will never lead us astray. We know that you, O God, are the one who speaks to us by your Spirit through your word. And tonight, we might respond differently to this parable that we have heard. Well, Lord God, give us that heart that is ready to commit wholly and completely to following you. A heart that will accept this word of God and bear fruit 30 and 60 and 100 fold. And may we, O God, also encourage our children in that task to embrace the word you've given to us, to live by the glories of the gospel, and to grow deeper and deeper in our love and devotion to you in the week to come. May we not be those who hear the parable and seeing do not perceive, and hearing do not understand, lest that they also might turn and be forgiven. But Lord God, open our hearts to receive your word and work powerfully through that word by your Spirit to bear fruit for your glory. Hear our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.